But we'll be tonight in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Verse 23, Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Tonight, as we look at our next heroes of the faith, we're going to look at the parents of Moses. Jochebed and Amram are going to be his parents, and we're going to look at their lives and their journey of faith and how it impacted Moses' life and his journey of faith. But you know, a child's journey of faith must and should begin at home. It should begin at home. Their journey of faith, a young child, a young baby, a toddler, a teenager, that child's journey of faith should begin in the home. That's what we'll be looking at tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us this evening, that you would just guide us in this study and direct our steps. Guard my words, Lord. Help me not to say anything that's not scriptural. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would teach this lesson and instruct us from the very Word of God. Bless and help us to understand this lesson that you have before us about Moses' parents. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, there was a comic strip in the newspaper. Remember those Sunday mornings when you'd try to race your parents to the mailbox or the driveway to get the newspaper, and you'd tear through the paper until you found the comic pages? That was always a highlight in our home. It was three kids, and we were trying to be the first one to get it. And we all had our favorites. This wasn't one that I would read normally, but it did have some pointed things to talk about, for better or for worse, was the comic strip. And it ran in newspapers and syndicate for years. And it's really about the family and what can go wrong in a family and life lessons in the family. And this particular strip ran years ago. Michael's mother, Michael's sort of the teenage son in the household, and the strip has Michael's mother in bed, tossing and turning in bed. And she's thinking about her role as mother. And she says to herself, am I too tough on Michael? Am I too lenient on Michael? Do I give in too much or too seldom? Do I listen to what he has to say? Do I understand him? Do I nag him too much? Am I really a good parent? All her thoughts in the bed, tossing and turning. And the last frame of the strip is Michael, the teenage son, in his room, in his bed. And he's laying in his bed and he's like, the problem with grown-ups is that they think they know it all. If he only knew what his mom was struggling with in the other room. You know, we've all been there. Mom and dad think they know everything. They don't know our generation. And we're struggling trying to figure out, am I doing this right? Am I making a mess of it? Have I just, you've been there. In fact, parents, especially moms, because they're with the children usually more than the fathers, but in fact, parents recognize all too well that as they send their children off to school in the morning, there's so many different types of bad things that lie in wait for those young minds. Things like drugs, gangs, alcohol, school violence, bullying, moral temptations. And children must be strong. They must be brought up with the understanding of how to overcome these things. In the past, our educational system encouraged development of Christian principles and values. Boy, that's not the case today. Not anymore is this a principle in our schools. Too often, our children are taught in school there are no absolutes and there is no right and no wrong. You choose. Well, that's a dangerous thing to put in the mind of a child. So it's difficult to be a parent today, but it's even more difficult to be a Christian parent today. But as hard as this may be, we need to realize that the difficulties are not unique to our time. We have some unique challenges that they didn't have in Moses' day, but we have some similar challenges as well. In every age, parenthood has had its share of difficulties. Tonight, as we come to Hebrews 11:23 and the journey of faith of Moses' parents, Jochebed, the mother of Moses, and Amram, the father of Moses, they rear Moses up in the land of Egypt during a difficult time in a pagan culture. You know, in case some of us are not completely aware of those watching on live stream, not completely aware of the story of Moses, let me summarize it very quickly for us. The Hebrews had been in Egypt for 400 years. Though at first they were welcomed in by Joseph as the second in power in Egypt, bringing his family in, a number of 70, into the land of Egypt. And he gives them the land. The Pharaoh gives them the good of the land, and they prosper. But as soon as Joseph dies, a new Pharaoh comes on the throne, and things change for the worse for the Israelites. Egyptians feel threatened by the great numbers of the Israelites, and they say that they could join our enemies. They could come within, they're inside the country, and they could joke up with our enemies and we could be overthrown. They've grown from a family of 70, close to a million, if not over a million Israelites now. They're becoming a nation. And the Pharaoh says, we've got to do something. We need to rebuke them. We need to persecute them. We need to put them in slavery. So that's what they do. They put the Hebrews in slavery with taskmasters over them. And yet the Hebrew population continues to grow. In a desperate measure to control the population growth of the Hebrews, the Pharaoh directs that all male babies under 2 years of age were to be killed, thrown into the river. Moses is born during this time. He is a young child, a young baby, under the death sentence of Pharaoh. Can you imagine the horror of Moses' parents? They've had a son, and he is under a death sentence. He is to be killed. They hide the baby for 3 months. And if you had a three-month-old, you know they are a little noisy. This was a futile plan and effort. They knew this could not continue. So fearing discovery of Moses, they conceive a plan. And they're going to put the baby Moses in a basket of reeds and cover it inside with pitch so it would float and not leak. And they put the basket with Moses in it in the Nile River up amongst the reeds, the bulrushes, trusting God to protect their baby. The baby Moses lay in the basket. No crocodiles bother it. No hippos bother it. No dangers of any kind. Protection of God is around that little baby. And as the baby is lying in the basket of reeds amongst the bulrushes, Pharaoh's daughter happens to come down to the river to the exact place to bathe. She sees the basket. She sends one of her servants to go and fetch the basket and bring it to her. And upon opening the basket, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 6, when she had opened it, she saw the child. She knew it was a Hebrew child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." She knew it was a Hebrew. She knew it was under the death sentence of her father. And she had compassion on the child. Now, of course, Moses' older sister, Miriam, is not far away. And she's standing and watching and observing what's going to happen with this reed basket with her little brother in it. And as soon as she sees Pharaoh's daughter have the basket brought to her, I'm sure she tenses up and begins to have anxiety. But then she sees Pharaoh's daughter have compassion on the baby, her little brother. And she hurries to her side. And she says, "Could I find a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby for you?" "Of course you could. Yes, please." Well, who's she going to run to? She's going to run to Mama. She runs home to Mama, to Jochebed, and she says, "Mama, you're not going to believe this, but Pharaoh's daughter has Moses. She wants you to come and nurse the baby." Jochebed comes to the riverside, and Pharaoh's daughter gives her own baby back to her and says, "Will you nurse my baby? Nurse this baby for me, and I will pay you for it." Moses becomes later, as after he's weaned, Moses becomes part of Pharaoh's household. He grows up in a palace. The best education, the best clothes, finest food, great training. But Moses never lost sight of his identity. He was a Hebrew. It was all due to his parents' training. He began to go out and mingle with the people. And one day, seeing an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, he kills the Hebrew, the Egyptian, thinking no one had seen him commit the crime. But when he discovers that it is known, Moses flees Egypt and flees into the wilderness. And there he lives as a shepherd, marries and stays for 40 years. He leaves Egypt as a 40-year-old man and he goes into the wilderness and stays for 40 years. It was in this wilderness that God calls to him to go back to Egypt from the burning bush and lead the Hebrews out of captivity to the land that God has promised them. Well, you probably know the rest of the story. Moses is throughout the Old Testament and the book of Exodus especially. He does return. He was used of God in a momentous battle with Pharaoh as God's arm and strength and God's arm and vessel to bring forth the words of God to Pharaoh and to the pagan priest. Of course, the plagues of Egypt. And then they depart, 2 million plus strong, leaving with a high hand out of Egypt. Moses leading them and God leading Moses. through the journey, they come to Mount Sinai, and God gives Moses the Ten Commandments and the pattern for the tabernacle and the remainder of the Jewish law. But tonight we're looking at his parents, Jochebed and Amram. Their journey is one of captivity, slavery, oppression. But what a strong faith they had. Their faith was so great that they were inducted into God's Hall of Fame of faith in chapter 11. Notice again verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Verse 23 is not about Moses. Verse 23 is about his parents. Because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Jochebed and Amram had great faith. Let's read just a part of Moses and his parents here in Hebrews again, one more time. Notice with me two verses, verse 23 and 24. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. Moses has nothing to do with those two phrases. When he was born, was hid 3 months. That's all his parents. Because they saw he was a proper child. He's 3 months old. He was born and they had him up to 3 months old. He has nothing to do with being a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Again, it has nothing to do with Moses. Parents, they're not afraid to disobey Pharaoh's commandments. But then you go to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Wow, something's changed. We've gone from his parents to Moses. And of course, the remainder of these verses talk about Moses and his faith. But where did that faith come from? The faith came from his parents and their boldness and their courage. A child's journey of faith begins. Let's first tonight look at the potential of faith. The potential of faith. Notice in verse 23 it says, they saw he was a proper child. A proper child. If you go back to Exodus 2 and verse 2, it says here, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Go over to the book of Acts in chapter 7 and verse 20, Stephen giving this great discourse on the Bible, says, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. The word proper child, the word godly child, and the word exceeding fair child is all the same word. One's Hebrew, the other two are Greek. But they all mean the same thing. They mean he was a beautiful baby, that something was fair and special about him. His parents looked at him and they look at, like any other mother or father would look at their child and they say, oh, we love him. He's the cutest, he's the smartest, he's the most wonderful little baby boy that's ever been born. His parents loved him, but they also expected the most from him. If they didn't expect anything from him, then they say, okay, he's under the death sentence, the curse. No, they're going to hide him. They're going to risk their lives and the lives of Miriam and the lives of Aaron and their whole household to protect this child. There's a potential they saw in their son, a potential of faith. They, Jochebed and Amram, they have a biblical view of their children. They saw children as a gift from God, God's heritage. Psalm 127, verse 3 through 5. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, a blessing from the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Well, if we dissected that verse, there's a lot to do with Jochebed and Amram in that verse. They looked at their child and their children as a gift from God. You know, an illustration of this is a story I've read that says Tony is talking about his wife, and his wife's name's Grace. She's a brilliant woman. Tony's talking about his wife to his co-workers, and she said, Grace is a brilliant woman with a PhD and capable of pursuing a profitable career. But she is elected to stay home with our children while they're growing up. And her decision didn't bother her at all. She wanted to stay home. This is what she wanted to do. One day, Grace is out with other ladies, and they ask Grace, what do you do for a living? She goes, well, I'm a homemaker. I stay home and take care of my children and tend the house and take care of my husband. These ladies respond with some snide remark and say, oh, well, then, and go on their way and ignore her like she doesn't matter. So Grace, as an educated woman, comes up with a new way to respond to these critics. Next time she's asked, what do you do? He comes up with, I am socializing two Homo sapiens in Judeo-Christianity values so they'll appropriate the eschatological values of heaven in this life. What do you do? Well, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, and they go on their way not knowing what to say to that. Ladies and gentlemen, if your wife stays home with the children, she's working. The phrase working mother is a redundant phrase. A mother is a worker. Staying home with the children, praise the Lord, my wife was able to stay home with our children as they were in younger years of school. We'll raise our children, instill in them biblical principles, family values, moral principles. But she worked, just as all of you have worked. It is a working position, a homemaker. Not only did Moses' parents see the potential of faith in their child, secondly, they noticed the pattern of faith. They were going to do the right thing no matter the cost. Notice again in verse 23. They saw he was a proper child. And what's the next phrase? They, Jochebed and Amram, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They dared to violate the law of the Pharaoh, the highest power, the king of the land, whose land they were in and whose lands they were subjects and slaves. It would just take one person to rat them out. A disgruntled mother whose baby has been taken and thrown into the river and fed to the crocodiles. Just take one person to come and say, well, Amram and Jochebed, they have a little baby boy too. Oh, they're going to do the right thing, no matter the cost. You know, generally, we as Christians are to obey the law. And obedience to the laws of the land is something God wants us to teach our children. Paul says in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And in Titus 3:1, he told Titus to teach his people to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. And Peter said in 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. As Christians, we are to obey the laws of man in every case except when they command us to do something that violates God's commandments. When commanded to not preach in the name of Jesus, Peter responds, we ought to obey God rather than man. Acts 5, verse 29. There are many other examples of this where the law of the land and believers say, no, we're going to obey God and not man. Think of Daniel. Think of the three Hebrew men. Think of the apostles. Think of Paul. Think of Peter. In spite of the command of the king, Jochebed and Amram hid their son. And the verse specifically says, they were not afraid. They had a faith that was strong. You know, I believe just this one glimpse into the lives of Jochebed and Amram, I believe this is one of the reasons Moses became the great man that he did. He learned from his mother and father's courage. We come to verse 27, and this is about Moses. By faith, Moses, or he, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Well, that sounds similar to what his parents just said. They're not afraid of the king's commandments, and here Moses is saying he's not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What's faith? Seeing him who is invisible. Moses has a faith that has courage and boldness. Moms and dads, do you realize the impact your example makes on your children? Grandma and grandpa, do you realize the impact you have on your grandchildren and your children? When you choose to do the right thing, instead of the expected thing, the law of the land that goes against God's law, children are watching. Grandchildren are watching. And they're learning because a child's journey of faith begins. When you choose to do right, even to your own hurt or potential hurt, you set an example that your children will never forget. If they're put in the same situation, they have learned how to react. A great example of this is a missionary by the name of Bill Quisenberry. He was called to Okinawa, Japan, and served there many years, but he was from humble roots in Oklahoma. His upbringing, his family, they lost their farm in Oklahoma during the Dust Bowl days of the Great Depression. And then his father dies. And his mother was left alone with four children to take care of and to feed. In those days, there was no public assistance. There was no social welfare. They literally had nothing and nowhere to go. They had no resources. As a last resort, the mother goes to a prominent community leader seeking work to support her family. This prominent community leader offers her a job in the saloons and in the gambling halls near the oil wells. He said the pay is just so-so. But with a wink, he says, you can make a lot more on the side She and her children are literally on the edge of starvation. But she refuses to go to work for a man like this in any capacity. She has courage. She has boldness. She has a faith. She chose instead to move her family to a cave she knew of. And so she raises her children in a cave in Oklahoma. And she goes into town and does work, sewing jobs, small sewing jobs. Just enough to earn to get by to feed her family. She chose instead a hard life, a difficult life, a life of pain and struggling. When Bill was 14, he knew he needed to leave home. He was just another mouth to feed. So he hitchhiked out to California and found a job picking fruit. His mother's example of doing right no matter what the cost infused him with the same spirit to do right, even though a 14-year-old man away from home, out of state, working with a rough crowd. He got saved, he became called preacher, and his sermon illustrations while on the mission field are peppered with stories of doing right in difficult circumstances during one of the nation's worst nightmares. He learned this from his mother. He wrote a book about his life. Missionary Bill Quisenberry. Moms and dads, your kids are watching you. They're watching the decisions you make. They're watching the choices you make. They watch the sacrifices you make. The way you endure trials, the way you handle adversity, the way to treat people, the way you love or do not show love, the way you talk, and whether you're honest at all times or willing to cheat a little along the way. And their character will be forged by the example of you and your spouse. Grandparents, same goes for you. Don't fail them. A child's journey of faith in the home. Thirdly, we notice that his parents imparted faith to their son, the program of faith. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Faith now has moved from the parent to the child. Amram and Jochebed's plan and program to secure Moses those 3 months allowed them to have more time with their son to instill in him more godly principles. As his nurse mother, Jochebed, would teach Moses about his people and about the Lord. She could teach him about Abraham and how he trusted in God and it was counted to him as righteousness. She would have taught him about Joseph and why they were in Egypt. And his faith, Joseph's faith in God, even when he was in Pharaoh's dungeon. But his parents were also the greatest example of faith. How many of you would place your baby in a river, trusting God to take care of him? Wow, that took great faith. That took as much faith as Abraham leaving Ur of the Chaldees, not knowing where God was going to take him. It took just as much faith. It took just as much faith as Daniel going into the lion's den not knowing that God was going to shut the mouths of those lions. It took the same amount of faith as the 3 Hebrew children going into the fiery furnace not knowing that God was going to meet them in the fiery furnace and protect them from the flames or even the smell of smoke. Same faith is what Amram and Jochebed did, is laying their baby in that river, not knowing that the hippos or the crocodiles or any other disease or the mosquitoes of carrying malaria or whatever. They had no idea that Pharaoh's daughter was going to come and take the child and have compassion. Don't underestimate the power you have to help your child to serve God, to grow in faith. But even those that have not blessed with children, or those that have their children have grown up like us, our children are grown and moved out and have their own lives. We have an influence over children here at the church, and children in the neighborhood, and children around that we see and interact with our co-workers and friends and families and nieces and nephews. Do you know if all your nieces and nephews are saved? One thing we did for years where my sister's daughter was growing up is every Christmas we would send her a present. That present, she loved to read, and we sent her, age appropriate as she got older, we sent her Christian books to read that had the gospel in it. Of course, we'd always set a bookmarker in it that was the gospel. We did that for 20 years almost. Did it with my younger sister and her oldest. Know if your nieces and nephews are saved? Do you know if your neighbors' children are saved? Do you know if your co-workers' children are saved? Maybe God has put you in a place to influence them for Christ. Let's not fail them. Moses' mom and dad realized that the greatest responsibility they had was to raise their children to love God, to serve God, to be obedient to God. No matter if we're living in a cave, living in a foreign land as slaves, we need to serve, obey, and live for God. You know, we, as the Bible's principles throughout, we as parents are responsible for our children. Not the babysitter, not the nanny, not the school teacher, not the children's church teacher, not the teen leaders. You and I are responsible for the spiritual upbringing of our child. Let's not shirk that responsibility. It is a serious responsibility. They saw the potential of their child. There was a pattern of faith that transferred from parent to child, and the program of faith as it moves and grows. And lastly, there's a perspective of faith. Amram and Jochebed helped Moses take a long, eternal look at life. Not just look at the now, not just look at the present, not look at your surroundings, not look at the temporal, the earthly. Moses says in verse, it says about Moses, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Think how Egypt was one of the richest countries of the ancient world. And Moses was growing up in the palace. He could have had anything if his heart desired. And he says, no, it's just for a season. I'm not looking on the temporal. I'm not looking on the earthly. I'm not looking on the present. I'm not looking on the now. I have a long perspective look of faith. He chose to suffer with the people of God instead of living in palace pleasures. He understood that suffering, though, was temporary. He saw that eternal riches were in the Lord, not in Pharaoh's palace. Verse 26 says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." He has been taught, he has been trained by his parents to look outward, not inward. To look upward, not downward. He learned to walk by faith, trusting God in difficult times. And how did he learn these things? He learned them from godly parents who walked what they taught. He learned them from parents of faith who never wavered in their faith in God. Even when things look bleakest. So my question to you tonight is, how are you doing as a parent, as a grandparent, as an adult that has influence over children? Do you see children as a blessing or a burden? We need to get on God's side on this issue, because they're a blessing. If you're not careful, you can resent what God calls a blessing. Love the little ones. Train them, disciple them, all in the power to help them achieve God's plan for their lives. Parents, do right no matter what the cost. Be an example to your children, to your grandchildren, and to those you have influence over. Moms and dads, impart your faith to your children. How do you do that? By teaching them about God in your home. By explaining the gospel to them until they understand and seek Him for their salvation. By reinforcing it through continued teaching and by being an example of trusting God even in the midst of adversity. Right. By keeping them in church. By keeping them in teen activities, where they can be around teens who are learning also to trust God and walk with God. And by exposing them to Christian books and movies where they can see positive illustrations of faith. And finally, moms and dads and grandma and granddads, whether moms or dads of your children or influencing others, keep our eye on eternity and what's important in life. Give them that perspective of the upward, outward look. May God help each of us, whether mom or dad or grandma or grandparent, or just an influencer, Christian influencer, adult that has been on the journey of faith and has wisdom to impart. Let us be the best that we can be for these generations. For they are our future. And they're going to have a difficult time in this life, in this world, because it's only going to get worse. Can you imagine the babies in the nursery, what they're going to have to face that we have not had to face? We need to be imparting our faith. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would use this message, Lord, only You can. Help us, Lord, to use our faith, this journey that we have been on, and the wisdom and the little we have to give to others, especially this next generation. Bless these people. Thank You for their attendance. Thank You for those watching. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would help us to be the best example that we can be before these young ones. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.